Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor, starting over with a brand new year, but still leaning on Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese for all the information. Happy New Year to you, sir.
Happy New Year. I've been informed the password is imagination. Can I come in?
Yes, please, yeah. Enter.
Very good.
Enter. This is cool. The clubhouse for the Doug Peterson Fan Club. Welcome.
I'll be back later. when the clubhouse changes its purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So close and yet so far.
I don't know what to, you know. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, of course, my precious Giants, dared to win a game. And the Eagles indeed dared to lose a game for whatever reason, depending on who you believe. Half the talking heads tell me that I shouldn't be upset. Half of them tell me I should. I'm going to go on this. I thought the Giants were going to win two games this year. They look good. Their defense, they got some young studly men on their defense. So if Daniel Jones turns out to be a Jared Goff, hey. I'm not despairing necessarily. Was that a pretty lame move and then try to claim that you were trying to win the game? Yeah. That was pretty. Just say did what I did. You know, pull a Belichick, right? Like Belichick is good at that. Like did what it did. Yeah. You guys can say what you want to say, and that would have been the right answer because it's like we are going to say what we want to say, and what I said was loud and offensive. Anyway, my kids learned things.
I bet they did.
Actually, so folks, Rich and I, off air, are actually we do pretend to actually be friends, and Rich made this weird Nostradamus prognostication right before the Giants almost lost that game on Sunday by referencing a game that happened the year I was born.
Yeah,
the great Herm Edwards taken in a useless fumble. Of the Eagles on the Giants, and it was unbelievable. 2 seconds later, literally, yeah. Rich,
because I dared invoke the name of Joe Pisarcik.
It was unbelievable. you can't do that.
No,
it's only because you remember that. But you know what's great? What's truly great is I know all my true sports fans, because when I told them about that game, they knew exactly what I was talking about,
oh, yeah.
And they just kind of shook their heads and said, yeah. All right, we're not here to talk pigskin, folks.
No.
We're here to talk grapeskin.
Yes.
And besides which, your guys aren't in either. So, listen, so what I thought it'd be fun to do, so this day, every year, we sort of look at potential wine trends for the new year, and we'll do that. But what I thought would be kind of interesting, because I copy and paste my notes from the previous year and sort of see what I talked about last year and try not to repeat myself too much. And so what I did is I looked at my, what's going to go on in 2020. It was kind of interesting. We were talking about climate change, Australia being on fire, Great Britain, being able to grow grapes, thick-skinned grapes being planted farther and farther north. We were talking about tariffs, and that's still relevant, of course, with the new administration coming in. We were talking about Chinese consumption still increasing, and now we're in a trade war with them. So that's interesting. One of the things I talked about was weed wine.
Oh,
we haven't actually seen.
Wow.
But we did. That was one of the predicted like big things for this year would be cannabis infused wines. And I think that and we'll sort of talk about, sort of what happened. But I mean, I think certainly the increasing legalization of marijuana as a as a recreational drug in and of itself led people to believe that maybe we don't really need to start effing up wine by putting pot in it. Because anyone, and I know I'm not alone here, who's had certain edibles in their life and been like, wow, oh, oh. Sometimes marijuana and wine go nice as, you know, one part of the evening versus the other, and not necessarily together. So that was an interesting thing that kind of didn't realize itself. But, of course, marijuana legalization, I mean, you know, there's lines outside pot shops, so it's not that people don't want it. It's that I don't think people really wanted it together. The other thing, and this is sort of interesting, given COVID, there was a call for better non-alcoholic options out there because there was more drunk driving and there was more need for restaurants and bars to have choices. Well, of course, that's all sort of changed because we're all drunk all the time now, apparently. And bars and restaurants are literally going, you know, to-go options. They're not drinking on-premise anymore. The on-premise beverage industry has now turned off-premise. So there's still... You know, I mean, again, in the industry updates that I get from, you know, every day, there's people coming up with non-alcoholic spirits and cocktails like that. But it's really, COVID really turned that one upside down. premiumization was something that was predicted. And indeed, that one, I think, at least has held true. But I think it actually was because of COVID. Everyone back then and still now was looking to sell more in the 20s and 30s as opposed to the 12s to 18s. And you were starting to see, you know, natural and old school methods, skin contact, amphora use, minimal intervention, wild yeast. That's all still happening. And I'll try to get to that. But how that's happening, I'll get to it now. It seems like a lot more people have been trying to reinvent themselves, not just because of the new year, but because of, you know, whatever's going on. So I have heard a lot more interest in, more people wanting what I would call hippie juice, which is not real wine per se, but these marketed, like, low sugar, you know, no sulfite added health products. And when people talk to me like, hey, Eric, we're interested in natural wine, I always start with the question, why? Was it an article you read? Was it something your doctor said? What is going on, and what do you mean by natural wine? Because I think a lot of people back then didn't know and now don't know, but they are willing to pay a little bit more for it as long as they're assured that it's clean, which is funny to me because I've been trying to work with, quote, clean wines my whole life. So we'll see where that goes. And along with that is more like, you know, labeling issues. You know, people want to know what's in their wine, just like they wanted to know what's in their food, right? And that's right. I mean, a nation born of Hungry Man dinners and McDonald's fries wants to, you know, and the videos of the pink slime, they want to know what the hell's in their food. That's right. But the answer is, in my case, grapes. Grapes are in there. And whatever trace amounts of anything else that are in there are so traced because this is a natural product. This is a real product. And I think most wine merchants would agree with me. We're not trying to push mass-produced, you know, nasty product. The stuff we're trying to sell is as real as the stuff that you're trying to, you know, go to the farmers markets to buy and stuff like that. So I think that's a real thing that people need to understand, is that when you even walk into our door, we're already dealing with a higher level of stuff. I'm sure I'm running out of time. I have, you know, do I have 2 or 3 minutes left?
You have about 3 left.
Okay. So let's turn and we can focus a little bit on Bangor wine and the future here. One of the obvious trends that we inadvertently fell into and now are trying to optimize ourselves for is the fact that more than half the world's wine cellars are shuttered right now. Restaurants, bars, etc. I believe Boris Johnson and Scotland, again, locked everybody down last night. Who knows what's going to happen, in a couple weeks here once a new administration takes hold that has a different view on science than the current one. There are needs out there for online service, be that delivery or curbside. And so that is ultimately the largest trend and certainly one that we're trying to address at Bangor Wine. We have recently, this week, in fact, just arrived. We're setting it up, invested in a new point-of-sale system, which is going to hopefully help us help you in terms of better inventory optimization, everything under one roof so that we can input our inventory, and then if somebody buys something online or buys it in the store or whatever, it doesn't confuse the heck out of us, which unfortunately turned out to be the case because we sort of became this online service center hastily and poorly informed. And I think that's going to be the case for a lot of people. So I would expect both from us and from, the beverage industry and in the whole that you're going to start to see a lot more delivery, a lot more online optimization, a lot more virtual tastings. Certainly that's the case with us. We're lining up some neat virtual tastings because the fact of the matter is the world has changed. And that ultimately, we should be thankful that we are in a place where technology will allow this. Because otherwise, we'd be just as ruined as the next guy. And I'm glad to say we're not. So, that's ultimately the biggest trend is if you hope to find us and other favorite beverage retailers online, look there, because we're likely to start being there a lot more than we used to be. With that said, we are still open. Just wear a mask. Come on in. We'd love to see your smiling eyes. And if you like curbside or the like, use those, please. Otherwise, thank you, everybody, for a great 2020, as weird as it was. We are so thankful for everybody, including the Downtown with Rich Kimball show. People focused on doing it right made it so much better than it could have been.
There you go. And we're happy to have you back for another year of great information and, well, the general kind of fun that we have every Tuesday afternoon.
Yes, well, we hope that the general kind of fun includes more victories than losses in 21.
Yes,
right?
No question about that. Right. Thank you, Eric.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
We'll see you soon. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle here on Downtown.